to me your secrets, show me your nightmares. All cats are gray in the dark, dear, whether or not you dare.
Welcome to All Cats Are Gray in the Dark. I'm your host, April Simmons. This podcast contains true cases of graphic violent crimes and other stories of a dark nature. Please be advised that due to the subject matter and violent, sometimes sexual content and obscene language, this podcast is not for children or the faint of heart.
Come in!
Hi, hi, hi! Today we have a not as depressing episode. Sabrina will be very happy.
Yay!
All right. Well, I apparently did our shit backwards this time.
And I have. Hey, I get to talk first.
Okay, go for it. I don't care. Yeah, I was like, wait, it's supposed to be me first. I don't understand.
Oh, it's all going to be a surprise to me. So, Jeff, also referred to as the Talking Mongoose or the Dalby Spook, was the name given to an allegedly talking mongoose, which was claimed to inhabit a farmhouse owned by the Irving family. The Irving's farm was located at Cashin's Gap, near the hamlet of Dalby on the Isle of Man.
I know. I'm like, we gotta go there now. Not that I didn't already want to go there.
Yeah. The story was given extensive coverage by the tabloid press in Britain in the early 1930s. The Irving's claim gained the attention of parapsychologists and ghost hunters such as Harry Price, Hereward Carrington, and Nandor Fodor.
I know that name.
That's a kick-ass name.
I know, it feels like it belongs in either Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that kind of name.
Yeah. Anyway. Some investigators of the era, as well as contemporary critics, have concluded that Vorey Irving used ventriloquism and family collusion to perpetuate the hoax. In September 1931, the Irving family, consisting of James, Margaret, and a 13-year-old daughter named Vorey, claimed they heard persistent scratching, rustling, and vocal noises behind their farmhouse's wooden wall panels that variously resembled a ferret, a dog, or a baby. According to the Irvings, a creature named Jeff introduced itself and told them it was a mongoose born in New Delhi, India, in 1852. According to Vorey, Jeff was the size of a small rat with yellowish fur and a large bushy tail.
I told you. Be entertained for this episode. Yeah. The Irvings said that Jeff communicated to them that he... I just love that it's named Jeff, even though it's spelled with a G. It says it's pronounced Jeff. So I just find it hilarious that a ghost mongoose's name is Jeff.
Yeah, like 1930s.
I don't know. They said that Jeff communicated to him that he was an extra clever mongoose, an earthbound spirit and a ghost in the form of a mongoose. And once said, I'm a freak. I have hands and I have feet. And if you saw me, you'd faint. You'd be petrified, mummified, turned into stone or a pillar of salt. The Irvings
that is an extra clever mongoose. He's not wrong.
The Irvings made various claims about Jeff. He supposedly guarded their house and informed them of approach of guests or any unfamiliar dog. They said that if someone had forgotten to put out the fire at night, Jeff would go down and stop the stove. The Irvings claimed Jeff
would also...
I know, right? The Irvings claimed Jeff would also wake up people when they overslept and whenever mice got into the house. Jeff supposedly assumed the role of the cat, although he preferred to scare them rather than kill them. The Irvings say they gave Jeff biscuits, chocolate, and bananas, and food was left for him in a saucer suspended from the ceiling, which he took when he thought no one was watching. The Irvings claimed, but was somebody watching anyway, the Irvings claimed the mongoose regularly accompanied them on trips to market, but always stayed on the other side of the hedges chatting incessantly.
What the hell?
However, his warnings about being cruel were right. Jeff would often lose his temper at the Irvings, calling Jim a fat-headed gnome and even threatening to kill them all. Vorey was scared of Jeff and slept in her parents' bed to avoid being alone in the dark with him. However, the mongoose didn't take kindly to this, telling Jim, I'll follow her wherever you put her. One night, when the family tried to barricade the bedroom door with chairs and boxes so he couldn't get in, Jeff made the door bulge until it crashed open.
This doesn't sound like a mongoose.
Yeah, this sounds like a pedophile. I'm like,
yeah.
He wants to be a
pedophile ghost.
Yeah. Or just a pedophile stealing their food and
all of the above.
Yeah. The story of Jeff became popular in the tabloid press, and many journalists flocked to the aisle to try to catch a glimpse of the creature. Several other people, both local and visitors, claimed to have heard Jeff's voice, and two claimed to have seen it. However, physical evidence was lacking. Footprints, stains on the walls, and hair samples claimed to be evidence of Jeff were identified to belonging to the Irving sheepdog, as were several photos which were claimed by the Irvings to depict Jeff. Margaret and Vory Irving left the home in 1945 after the death of James Irving. They reportedly had to sell the farm at a loss because it had a reputation of being haunted. In 1946, Leslie Graham, the actor who had bought the farm, claimed in the press that he had shot and killed Jeff. The body displayed by Graham was, however, black and white and much larger than the famous mongoose, and Vory Irving was certain that it was not Jeff. She died in 2005. In an interview published late in life, she maintained that Jeff was not her creation.
All that time, and she's like, yeah, we'll just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Your turn.
In July 1935, the editor of The Listener, Richard S. Lambert, known as Rex, and his friend paranormal investigator Harry Price went to the Isle of Man to investigate the case and produced the book The Haunting of Cashin's Gap. They avoided saying that they believed the story, but were careful to report it objectively. The book reports how a hair from the alleged mongoose was sent to Julian Huxley, who then sent it to naturalist F. Martin Duncan, who identified it as a dog hair. Price suspected the hair belonged to the Irving sheepdog Mona, which we already knew. Price asked Reginald Pocock of the Natural History Museum to evaluate paw prints allegedly made by Jeff in plasticine, together with an impression of his supposed tooth marks. Pocock could not match them to any known animal, though he conceded that one of them might have been conceivably made by a dog. He did state that none of the markings had been made by a mongoose. The diaries of James Irving, along with reports about the case, are in Harry Price's archives in the Senate House Library, University of London. Wow, so fancy. Price visited the Irvings and observed double walls of wooden paneling covering the interior rooms of the old stone farmhouse, which featured considerable interior airspace between stone and wood walls that make the whole house one great speaking tube with walls like sounding boards. By speaking into one of the many apertures in the panels, it should be possible to convey the voice to various parts of the house. According to Richard Wiseman, Price and Lambert were less than enthusiastic about the case, concluding that only the most credulous of individuals would be impressed with the evidence for Jeff. Nandor Fodor, research officer for the International Institute for Psychic Research, stayed at the Irving's house for a week without seeing or hearing Jeff. Fodor did not believe deliberate deception had occurred and molded a complex psychological theory to explain Jeff based on a split-off part of Jim Irving's personality.
Although some psychic investigators thought Jeff was a poltergeist or a ghost, skeptics, including residents of the Isle of Man, believed the Irving family had colluded to perpetuate a hoax that was originated by their daughter, Vory, or however you say her name. An Isle of Man Examiner reporter wrote that when he caught the girl making noises, her father tried to convince him the sound came from somewhere else. According to Joe Nickel, researchers have suspected Vory using ventriloquism and other tricks, the effects of which were hyped by family members, reporters, in search of a story, and credulous paranormalists. Contemporary media scholar Jeffrey Sconce writes that the most likely explanation is that this extra clever mongoose was an imaginary companion created by the extra clever daughter. In 1937, Lambert brought an action for slander against Sir Cecil Levita, After Levita suggested to a friend that Lambert was unfit to be on the board of the British Film Institute, Levita said that Lambert was off with his head because he had actually believed in the talking mongoose and the evil eye. Lambert was pressured to abandon his action by Sir Stephen Talence, but persisted with it and won, receiving £7,600, I guess that would be. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some money. Then an exceptional figure for a slander case awarded because Lambert's counsel managed to introduce a BBC memo which showed Lambert's career had been threatened if he persisted with the case. The case became known as the Mongoose Case. And I included like a little newspaper snippet about it. Clue to the mystery of talking weasel. Like, I don't know.
It's hilarious.
That's pretty much the whole case.
Schoolgirl may have powers of ventriloquism.
I don't know if it was her or if they were just all convinced by something.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's kind of hard to pin down.
There's not really enough evidence in either way. I don't know that it necessarily was a hoax, but perhaps something was going on and the family just didn't understand it, or somebody was playing a joke on them instead of it being within the family. But it sounds like it would be easy trickery, considering that they tested the house because of the way the walls were, that it was able to convey voices to various parts of the house. And we ourselves have experience with that, because our vacation house, you could hear every conversation in the house. I swear to God. it was a two-story house, and we could hear every conversation from anywhere in the house, pretty much. Like, it was terrible. I guess that's pretty much it. There's not much else to say about this one. I came across it when I was looking for I was honestly looking for some ghosts, like cool ghost stories that I may have never heard of for Halloween. And I was like, this one's not necessarily Halloween worthy, but I kind of want to do it anyway because I just think it's interesting. So this is like our last episode before we delve into Halloween episodes for the whole month of October. So here you go. Here's a lighthearted one before we get into the truly scary ones.
Yay! Yay!
So there you go. And I guess we're going to move on to our list and get this over with, because, wow, we're only 11 minutes in. Can we make it?
Yeah. Like
a 20-minute episode?
Holy crap.
Let's see if we can do it. Okay, this week's list is the best places you visited, and it can be countries, cities, or more specific places. Yeah. That was just a loose definition. Best places.
Them best places.
Them best places.
Your turn to go first, number five.
New Orleans Garden District. I just love those houses. I don't know. They're old and cool looking. And
I agree.
Yes. That's mine. That's all. Next, yours.
Number five for me, Dismal Canyon.
Oh, dang.
It's one of my favorite places in the world.
I love it there, too. I'm adding that on my list, too. Number four, Natchez, Mississippi, which is weird that I would add Mississippi, but I don't know. Natchez is so different. There's all the Annabelle stuff and haunted places, and it's just kind of got a cool vibe.
Yeah.
So you're number four.
I didn't really spend a lot of time in St. Louis. We just went for an OK Go concert, just a quick weekend trip, but we went to Forest Park, which is just like a big fucking park in the middle of the city, like all greenery, but it has like a free zoo, free art museum, like a lake with little boats, concert places, it's just in the middle of the city, and it's just this big freaking awesome place. Probably something like Central Park, but I haven't been there.
I was fixing to actually make that comparison, because like that's kind of how Central Park is. It's just beautiful and there's so much shit to do, and it's cool. What number was that? That was
number four.
Right? Okay, yeah. So my number three was Alameda, California. It's a little like island off of San Francisco, I think. I can't even remember at this point. It's been a while, but I really like it. Was very more laid back than San Fran. Like, we went to go visit San Fran, but we stayed in Alameda with friends, and it was just very chill there. I really liked it. It was, the weather was just always like 62 degrees or something like the entire time we were there. Whereas back home, it was summer, 100 degrees at home. And it's just like, I don't know, it felt very chill to me. I just wanted to like sleep on the, they had like a little tiny little balcony that overlooked the bay. Like, I just wanted to like sleep out there because the weather was so nice and the view and everything. It's just like, I could probably sleep there forever on the patio. That's all. Your number, whatever.
Number three, Nashville. That was probably the most boring thing I've got on my list. But I, as just far as far as a city goes, it's the safest, like, cleanest city I've been to. And I feel like it's the most feasible, like, if I were to move to a city, that would probably be the only one I would do. Just one, most other places are freaking expensive. And I feel like this one's close enough to family and friends, but also has a good airport. Like, mine are all totally rational reasons, but it's also just, it's a really up and coming city. And I think it's only going to get more expensive here pretty soon, but it really is. Like, we've been to the amphitheater that's there. That's where we saw Arctic Monkeys, and it has like outdoor exercise equipment and like cool playgrounds for kids and cool shops. And it has candy stores, you know. Like, not like every place doesn't, but I don't know, I just like Nashville as far as like a city goes.
Yeah,
number two for you,
Central Park.
Yeah,
probably for the same reasons that you stated for the other park. I just, there's lots of stuff to do, it's beautiful, but then you have the juxtaposition, like it's surrounded by the skyscraper,
the cool skinny buildings city.
And like my favorite part of it is like the John Lennon Memorial is right directly, like the little flowers that they have laid out for him, is right across from the building. The building where John Lennon
was Dakota living. Building.
Yeah. The Dakota Apartments. And that's also where, Rosemary's Baby was filmed.
Yeah.
And that building is just so gothic and beautiful. And like, I just love that. That whole area of Central Park is just stunning. That's it for me on that one. What's your number two?
Maine.
Just all of Maine.
Just all of Maine. Yeah. I sadly haven't been to Bangor yet, which is where Stephen King lives. But that's the next time. I told Justin, I'm like, next time we go up there, no getting around it. We're going to Bangor. I want to go sit outside Stephen King's house. That's actually another town I've looked at if we were to move outside of the South. It's a little more priced decently, but I wouldn't really consider that like a big city either, though. No. It's just like, it's a city, but it with a town feeling, if that makes sense. I say it like I've been there, but I've Google mapped Stephen King's house enough to know.
Okay. That's creepy. I don't
know. No, you can just, no, you can literally just search Stephen King's house and it pulls it up on Google Maps.
Yeah.
But my, just Maine in general is just, it's got a cool feeling. It's so quiet. Everything's beautiful. I mean, yeah, my husband's from there. My other husband was from there. It's a cool place. So I've been there the most probably out of every other, like probably more than Nashville at this point. And, you know, at least been out and about doing things other than just going to a concert.
Yeah.
So it's my second home.
Yeah. You just can't move there permanently though.
Yeah, you'll just come with us. Yay.
Yeah, I can't move from this house for like 10 years or something.
Yeah, it's not like I'm going to be moving anytime soon.
So. Number one for me is guess.
No idea. Las Vegas.
What?
Smoky Mountains,
yes. I was like, how do you even
know? I didn't know if you would like go with the obvious.
Yeah.
But
no, I just love the vibe of the Smokies. I don't know, the air feels different there to me. And it is probably because we're higher up, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love it there. I could just go and sit in the cabin and I would be happy. Like, yeah. And I have done that. during the middle of the pandemic, we took that vacation where we literally stayed at the cabin the entire time and just got in the hot tub and watched bear cubs climb a tree. And, like, yeah, you know, I loved it every second.
Yeah.
What's your number one?
Guess.
The Smokies.
No. Actually.
No.
San Francisco. So I've gotten to actually go there a lot, and for an extended amount of time every time. Like, a lot of these places, like, usually when we go on trips other than Smoky Mountains and Maine, is like a week at most. But I spent 2.5 weeks in San Francisco one time, and a week another, and then a couple of days the next time. So, like, I've got, and alone too. So I was able to just explore anything and everything. Got to do Alcatraz, and
I'm so jealous about that. I want to go with you one of the times you go.
Yeah,
maybe I can do that sometime.
Yeah. Like, also, like, did a cat cafe. And I mean, because of where all of my job's corporate offices are, I get to stay in Fisherman's Wharf. So, like, I literally get just stay right in the middle. But I, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time, like, in the city. I've gone to a few restaurants down there. I went up those freakishly tall steps with my coworkers. They just thought I was a freaking nightmare dealing with me. We're like, we're going to walk to the restaurant. And it ended up being up those steps that are like, there's like 1,000 something steps or something crazy like that. Like, straight up this, the like giant hill in San Francisco. I ended up, like, I was wearing heeled boots, and y'all don't know me, right? But I go barefoot 90% of the time. And when otherwise I wear flats anyway, but I was wearing my nice boots because it's the corporate offices. And, like, I took my damn shoes off in this city and walked up them steps and was, like, sweating, dying. And San Francisco, like you were saying, is like 60 degrees all the time, but I was still hot because I am a big girl and I sit at a desk all the time. Like, it was too much. But yeah, otherwise, the city's beautiful. I even like looking at the bridges. I haven't gone near them.
Yeah.
And I got, you know, I got to drive past the curvy street. I haven't actually made my way to the Full House yet. But my boss lives, like, in the suite Full House style houses. So anytime I'm on a Zoom call with her, I'm, like, staring out her window. Like, looking at the cool houses. It's just, yeah, it's such a neat city, and it's very green. And I think it's so neat. It's such an, why the heck they put that city, like, in such a weird grid fashion with those giant hills. I'll never understand it, but it's super, yeah, cool. And that was a lot of info.
Did you ride a trolley?
No.
Aw.
I just walked or Ubered everywhere.
I rode the trolley just for the heck of it. Like, yeah, I just rode it around and looked at stuff.
Yeah.
Highly recommend, because it's just, yeah, like, I'm on a trolley. Yay.
Yeah. What are your honorable mentions?
Disney World, Universal Studios, and then I threw in Dismal Canyon because you said it. And I, yeah, was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm the one that introduced you to that.
Yeah. My honorable mentions are Austin, Mark, Texas. Austin is really cool. I only spent a few days there, but it was pretty cool. One of my vendors is there, so I hopefully will get to visit again. I've been there twice already. Smoky Mountains, of course. Navarre Beach, I put on there. Because if I'm going to a beach, it needs to be Navarre, because it's like crystal clear and it's not as crowded. I can just sit there and read a book and do nothing. It's nice. New Orleans, like you said. And then I put Natchez / Vicksburg because they kind of have that feel. And of course, went to high school in Vicksburg. So,
yeah,
partial to it. I love the Civil War houses and such. And ghosts.
All the ghosts.
No, that's it.
Okay. So,
get, we're
wrapping this up. How long, 23 minutes. So we went over by a little bit.
Yeah.
Dang.
We got close.
Anyway, is there any hot recommends or anything? I think we kind of skipped that this time because we just recorded another one.
Yeah, we forgot. Yeah, I got nothing.
I'm going to say Big Sky again and and Non-Perfect Strangers.
We watched Malignant. That was something.
Was okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a new horror movie. It's that dude that's done all those, like, Conjuring and all of that. It's his new movie.
Oh, I'll have to probably watch it then.
It's on HBO Max. So.
I actually like those movies, so.
Yeah, it's not anything like those. I'll just say that, though. Like, Malignant is its own thing. I don't know. But it's got a, like, it took a little while, but, like, there's a cover, like, the theme song that kind of plays in and out of the movie is, like, a weird cover of Where Is My Mind?
Yeah.
And me and Justin guessed what was going on from, like, the very fucking beginning. So, but it was still really entertaining. I'll just say that. Like, don't be discouraged. It is weird. It's guessable. It's out there, but it was still a really entertaining movie. So,
yeah. Anyway, so I guess we're wrapping this up and trying to keep this below 30 minutes at least. Tune in next time for the whole month of October. We'll be doing some spooky stuff, some creepy stuff for Halloween.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Sorry for all you true crime lovers. We'll try to squeeze that in there,
too. We're going to do some of those, too. We're just going to kind of mix it in a little.
Yeah.
We're just going to stick to stuff that's creepy in general.
Yeah.
Later.